Someone sent me a video last night of a little 17-year-old girl from Indonesia who was singing on America's Got Talent, and she was singing that famous U2 song, I Still Haven't Found What I'm Looking For. She did a phenomenal job, an amazing job, but as I was listening to that U2 video last night, it occurred to me that really that's where a lot of people are in life. They still haven't found what they are looking for. But the reality of it is the God who created you desires for you to discover who he is and then know who he says that you are. And maybe you have a void in your life. Maybe you have some relational challenges in your life. Maybe you feel a bit lonely today. And my heart's our heart's desire is that God would speak to you in a powerful, powerful way and let you know that he desires to dwell with you and dwell among you and begin to lead you into great, great things. If you have your Bibles with you today, I'm going to invite you to open it up to Exodus chapter 25, and we're going to take off with a verse there, verse 8. But before we get there, I do want to set up this passage because the context of this particular verse we're going to read today is where God had rescued a whole nation of people that had been in bondage, been in slavery for 400 years. It was the Hebrew people, and God's strong arm and God's great power stepped into their hostile, their slavery, their place that they were, and he rescued them and he brought them out. And God began to declare to the leader Moses, I don't only want to bring my people out of slavery, but I want to take them into a land of provision. The Bible refers to it as the promised land, the land that was flowing with milk and honey. So God's desire was to bring those people out of slavery, take them into this land with all the provision anyone would ever need. God wanted to bless them with his provision. And God wanted them to grow in that blessing and be a blessing to the world around them to show the world how powerful his strong arm is and how great of a God he really was. And so as they begin that journey, they were brought out of the slavery of Egypt. God spoke to the leader Moses, and he begins to talk to him about building a place that he, God, could dwell with those people. Now, I don't know if you know it or not, but God desires to dwell with his people. God dwelled with the first human beings ever created, the first man and the woman that was placed in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve. God dwelled and walked with them in the garden. God's desire for creating human beings is relationship. And in that relationship, he wants to be God, and he wants us to be his people. He wants to be the provider, and he wants us to display his amazing power in the world that surrounds us. The first man and the first woman, Adam and Eve, stepped away from that plan. And the Bible says sin entered the world. Sin is a picture word. Sin literally means missing the target, missing the bullseye. Missing the bullseye of God's glorious standard. The first man, the first woman missed it that. Sin entered the world, and sin has affected all humanity ever since then. But God's plan has not changed. God desires to dwell with his people. So God calls Abraham, and he says, I'm going to make you into a great nation. I'm going to bless you so that, everybody say, so that you can be a blessing. And so when God calls something out of darkness, calls something out of bondage, calls something out of sin, it's so that he can bless it and it can become a blessing. And so God calls these Hebrew people out of slavery, and then he tells Moses in Exodus 25, verse 8, he says, here's what I want the people to do. He says, have the people of Israel to build me a set-apart sanctuary, a set-apart dwelling place. So I can live among them, so I can live with them. Not so I could just live in a place or a space, but I could be among my people, so I could dwell with them. He goes on to tell Moses in verse 9, he says, you must build this tabernacle this place, this holy sanctuary, and its furnishings, everything in it, exactly according to the pattern I will show you. Today, I want to talk to us about being a dwelling place for God. Because God desires not only to dwell with the Hebrew people as they're making their journey to the promised land, God dwells in his people who have been called out of darkness into the wonderful light by the power of the cross of Christ. He dwells in his people, he dwells with his people, and he dwells with us for a purpose. And so, you know, it's really important for us to understand that we're not just gathering together as human beings or as a people or, you know, just another gathering. We're gathering together to put our hearts together to create a space and a place for our Creator to dwell in, for his glory to shine on us so that, everybody say so that, it can shine through us. God blesses us so that we can be a blessing. So every time you gather with God's people, those who would say that they're followers of Jesus, they believe Jesus rescued them from sin, and they trust in his forgiveness, trust in the forgiveness of the cross and the power of the resurrection. Every time you gather with those people, something powerful happens. It's where his people come together with various gifts to be a dwelling place for the Creator. And yes, God can dwell with you on your journey as an individual. But what pleases God is when all the pieces come together and he dwells with his people exactly how he desires for those pieces to be put together. So let's talk a little bit about being a dwelling place for God. And if we're going to be a dwelling place for God, we have to believe that God desires to live among us. You have to trust that you believe that God created you to dwell with you. Now, I don't know how many people have a dwelling mate. Someone who lives with them. Anybody? Come on. Some of you wish they didn't live with you, right? But the reality of it is, think of a person you dwell with, you live with, you reside with. And what makes that a good space and place is the communion or the communication and the connection between the people who dwell in the place. In other words, if they are on, have kind of the same vision, they're on the same sheet of music, they're going in the same direction, the dwelling place becomes a little bit more exciting. In other words, whenever you're not working against each other, but you're working with each other in a relationship, the dwelling of going together is a little bit more enthusiastic and a little bit more exciting. See, the enemy loves to divide and conquer. He wants to divide and conquer your family. He wants to divide and conquer your relationships. And one of the ways to keep him from dividing and conquering is to declare what the vision of your family or those who dwell with you is for your life. In other words, when you begin to declare that and you all get on the same page and you head in the same direction, great things begin to happen. But when you're working, a house divided cannot stand is what Jesus says. So you have to get clear in your heart who you're going to serve as a household. As Joshua once said, he says, for me and my house, you know what? You decide who you're going to serve, but for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Because we believe that the Lord who dwells with us, he has a vision for our life, and his vision for our life is the best vision. His ways are higher than our ways. And so we have to believe that our Creator wants to dwell with us just like we want to dwell with another person. He wants that relationship to be strong, and he wants that relationship to be powerful. But in order for that relationship to be strong and powerful, the Bible says we must believe that God created us to live with us. We have to believe his strong hand is powerful enough to deliver us from any thoughts the enemy may take our mind to. Listen to what the Bible says here in Exodus chapter 19. Before God commanded Moses to build this amazing place, to live among his people. He says in Exodus chapter 19, verses 4 through 6, he says, Moses, tell the people you have seen what I did. God saying, you've seen what I did to the Egyptians. You know how I carried you on eagle's wings and I brought you to myself. In other words, I came to you. I came and found you. I came to your rescue whenever the Pharaoh and the Egyptians were holding you captive. He says, now, Moses, tell the people if you will obey me and you will keep my covenant, you will be my own special treasure from among all the peoples of the earth. For all the earth, he says, belongs to me. And you will be my kingdom of priests. You will be my advocates, my holy nation, a set apart group of people. This is the message you must give to the people of Israel. Recognize that I'm a God who is powerful enough to come into the enemy's camp, into the Egyptian camp, underneath the strong, powerful rule of Pharaoh. And by my strong hand, I can come and I can snuff the enemy out and I can pull you out. I can rescue you out of that dark space and that dark place. And I can set you on the other side. I can set you into the light for you to do amazing things. But when I set you into the light, understand I'm setting you into the light to be a priest, an advocate, and I'm setting you apart so that you can begin to make my name great. In other words, when God comes and rescues each and every one of us in our sin, it is his powerful arm. It is his powerful presence. It is his powerful face. It is Jesus, the power of God that came from heaven to earth, that put on skin, that died on a cross, that defeated death, defeated sin, defeated the grave. It's not one thing you did on your own merit or I did on my own merit. It was God's power that came in. Recognize his power. And when you recognize his power and you respect his power, then he can begin to work through you. See, God did it because God desires for his people to live in relationship with him, in communion with him. But as we live in communion with him, he desires for us to be a display of his glory in this earth. In other words, to be his advocate. That's what it means to be a priest. It means to be a person that stands in the gap with the glory of God, shining into the hearts of people and communing with God and shining into people's life and coming back to God and helping people connect with him. In other words, being a priest just really means being a bridge builder. Being a kingdom of people that are bridge builders to the one who came with a strong arm and he rescued us. He says, now I want you to be a holy nation, a set apart nation. God says this same thing about his church right here in 2023. He calls us a kingdom of priests. He calls us in 1 Peter a holy nation, a set apart group of people that he is building to do great and mighty things through. But we have to believe that God desires to dwell among his people. It's not about a place, it's about a heart. We just sung a song. My heart is a tent for you to dwell in. Come on, somebody. My heart is a space for you to come and reside in. My heart is a place with the power of God dwell in my tent, with the power of God dwell in my life. But see, the way the power of God dwells in your life is for you to trust him and you to believe him, and he comes into your life and he works in your life and he works through your life. He does it with the cross and the resurrection of Jesus. My friends, I want you to listen to what 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18 says. It says, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, those who are wasting away. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. So again, the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to those of us who are being saved, it is the power of God. It's what brings us out of slavery. It's what brings God to live with us. It's what allows God to dwell with us, but we have to believe that God desires to live among us. I believe with all of my heart that God desires to live in my heart, and God desires to live in your heart. And God is building something great for his name's sake. That God is really shining in the hearts of his people. You see, what God wants to do is he wants to dwell with us, but we have to believe it. But not only do we have to believe it, we have to begin to put the pieces together. This is really important. Because as God spoke to Moses about building a dwelling place for him to come dwell in, he tells him in Exodus chapter 25, he says to him, you must build the tabernacle and its furnishings exactly according to the pattern I will show you. In other words, the tabernacle where God was going to dwell, everything in the tabernacle and the tabernacle itself, the tent of meeting, was a representation of who God is in all of his glory. And it was God in his splendor. It was God in his glory. And he says, look, don't take any detail. Don't just do it the way you want to do it, Moses. If the cloth is too long, then cut it to be the right size. If it's the wrong color, every detail matters. You need to get the right color. If the board ain't long enough, don't just make do. Go get something else and make it like I tell you to make it, exactly to the details I tell you to make it. Why do I say this today? Because with God, every detail matters. And every piece of what he is building to him matters. Every piece of his house matters to him. And so God chooses. You don't choose. God chooses when he brings us out of darkness into the wonderful light. He chooses what peace he designs you and I to be. And we can begin to either be that peace and put it together with the other pieces, or we can reject being the peace he's called us to be. But my friends, when we do every detail and every piece gets together as God designs it to be, it becomes a set apart place for God to dwell in and God to work in and God to work through. I want you to listen to what the scripture says. And again, I'm trying not to yell in this tent of your own line, but it's raining outside. Come on. And I want you to hear, because I do believe that God is at work in his people and he's working through his people. Anybody thankful for a roof today? Come on. I'm just hitting the pause button for a minute. It's beautiful. First Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. God, speak to your heart today. He says, don't you realize, slap your neighbor and say, do you realize that all of you together are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God lives in you? Slap your neighbor and say, God lives in you. Go ahead and tell him, God lives in you. It goes on to say in verse 17, God will destroy anyone who destroys this temple. For God's temple is holy, and you are that temple. So what that means is we are God's people, and something might set out to destroy what God's doing, but it doesn't have the power to work in and over God. He is a God who protects his house. He is a God that is for his house. He is a God who dwells in his people, but you got to get to be the piece that God created you to be and put it together with the other pieces. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 says this, dear brothers and sisters, the writer says, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behaviors and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. And then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good, pleasing, and perfect. The writer tells the church at Ephesus this in Ephesians 2:20. He says, together, everybody say together. This is really important. Together, we are his house, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. And the cornerstone is Christ Jesus himself. God loves to dwell with his people. But we have to understand that God's people is us using our various gifts and putting those gifts together. And every one of those gifts matters for God to show up and work in us and work through us. And yes, God can work in any person's life, in any place, any space, at any time. But where God's power works at its greatest is in his church and through his church when you put those gifts together and it becomes a dwelling place for God. God's light begins to shine into the world. It's not just about one of us. I used to think that my faith was just about me and God, me communing with God. And though I have a personal responsibility with my own faith to commune with God and put my faith in who God is, when I do that, what God does is he connects me with, he gives me a spiritual gift and he connects my gift with other believers. And I have to sync up or line up or begin to partner with those other believers in order for God to show up in a powerful, powerful way. In other words, none of us are a fixture that just sits and watches. It's us all participating together. And we're to encourage each other in our gifts and with our gifts to be a place and a space for God to dwell in and work through. God does what he says. When we believe, he wants to dwell with us, and we put those pieces together, and we do it for his amazing glory. The last thing I wrote down about this is what we have to do is we have to anticipate God showing up. If you look back at this passage when God gave all the instructions about building a dwelling place to Moses for him, the Bible says Moses went up on a mountain for 40 days, got a download of what God says, all the details about coming back and telling the people about how to construct a dwelling place for him. But while Moses was on the mountain getting the instructions for God over that 40-day period, the Bible says that the people at the bottom of the mountain became very impatient with what God was doing. And they were being tested to see how strong their faith really was, that God was the God who delivers them, restores them, and works through them. And so they were being tested as God was giving this download to Moses. But as they were being tested, they gave in to anxiety, they gave in to impatience, they gave in to all of these things, and they began to use their own mind instead of think about the new things that God was going to do in them and through them. And the Bible says that they went to the second person in charge. His name was Aaron. And they said, look, we don't know what happened to this dude named Moses. He went up there. He's been gone for 40 days, and we need a new leader. And then Aaron began to talk to the people, and all the people brought their resources, put them together, and they built a golden calf, and they began to worship a golden calf. In other words, instead of trusting God and what he said, they began to trust in their own selves and their own resources, and they built something, and they began to worship it. Can I tell you, this is what happens a lot of times when God rescues us. We think sometimes because when God rescues us out of sin, out of slavery, that he sets us on the other side, and he doesn't go to work in transforming us, working the old stuff out and the new stuff in, and because everything don't change the moment we're set on the other side. Everything doesn't just happen automatically. We give up on our faith. We begin to question God. God, where are you? Are you going to do what you said you're going to do? I thought you rescued me from slavery. And right now, I feel a certain way. And God says, you know what? Be patient with your faith. Trust what I did. Trust what I'm doing. Stay the course. Don't give up. Persevere. Keep on keeping on. Anticipate me showing up. See, the problem is we're oftentimes a lot like the people who build a golden calf. When God doesn't show up when we want him to and how we want him to, we say, God, give me a new leader. Give me a new space. Give me a new assignment. And God's like, no, the assignment's the same. Trust me. Trust me. I'm coming to dwell in you. I'm taking you to the promised land. I'm blessing you so you can be a blessing. Don't you pull over to the side. Don't you throw in the towel. Don't you give up, because you know what? You're in a testing period. So many people give up in the testing period. They give up when God's testing their faith. God's not tempting you. God's testing you. He wants you to see that he is faithful. He will do what he says he's going to do. And again, he doesn't want you to give up on his strong arm, on his powerful hand. And again, these people, they started worshiping a golden calf. And then God, in his mercy, in his kindness, God still comes back again. And he gives the same exact details to Moses again. Every one of them. I need you to build me a dwelling place with the people. So in other words, God forgives them for getting off onto the wrong path, for not following through with their faith. And again, as they begin to trust God again, what God does is he allows that dwelling place to be built exactly like he said it needed to be built. And then the Bible says in Exodus 40 that the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. The very majesty of God filled that place. When the people decided to believe God for who he says he is, to believe that he called them out of slavery, to build them into a special people to do great things through, and they trusted that with their heart and their life, and they began to follow God in the wilderness, the Bible says that God came and he filled that tabernacle with his glory. He dwelt among the people. See, I don't believe it's any different today in a believer's life, in a church's life. When we get on board with what God's doing and we understand that he is using his church to display his glory to the nations of the world, and we put those gifts together and do these amazing things in our community, you can't hold back the power of God. In other words, whenever you bring your mercy gift, you know, whatever gift God has given you, maybe it's an administration gift. Maybe it's a mercy gift. Maybe it's, a gift of evangelism, which is reaching out to the world around us. Maybe it's the gift of teaching. I don't know what your gift is, but when you bring it and you put it together with the other gifts and all of us begin to work in sync in one direction with one vision and not letting the world divide us with its ways and its customs, and saying, no, we're under the umbrella of our great God, our Heavenly Father. Jesus is the head of his church, my friend, and we are the body. We're the extension of him into this world. We're his hands and feet. But it takes you to have the audacity to step into what God's saying, to step into who he says you are, to believe that, you know what, he wants to connect you with a group of people and dwell in that group of people for his name's sake, to bless the nations of the world. My friend, there is no person beyond the reach of a great God. He is a God that can come into any dark moment, rescue you, build you into something great, but you have to have the perseverance with your faith. The Bible says that God desires for us to persevere, to keep on keeping on. And again, this is what happens. I mean, just think about life. People give up way too soon. They throw in the towel. They're going through some trials. They're going through testing. They're going through tribulation. They're going through difficult moments. And they just quit. And I do believe that God didn't call us to quit, but God called us to trust. And I do believe when we cry out to God and we say, God, I see no way out. I know no way out of this, but I do know that you came and you want to dwell with me and you want to dwell in me and you want to use me for great things. My friend, God will show up. So I wonder if you're willing to to be the vessel that God designed you to be. I wonder if you're willing to connect that gift that God gave you with His church, so His church can continue to expand, it can continue to grow, and it can continue to reach out and serve the community in such a way God's name becomes great. My friend, this place, this land, is a set apart land. It's a set apart land because we believe that God called us here. And because God called us here, we believe that as we gather here, we build each other's faith, we build each other's gifts, we build each other's heart, that God's gonna build His church. And His church is gonna be a shining light on a hill that the enemy cannot snuff out or put out, and His name is gonna become great. But again, every one of us have a faith decision to make. Do we trust what God did through Christ Jesus to forgive us of our sin, deliver us, give us freedom, and begin to work in us through the power of His Holy Spirit so we can be who He's designed us to be? My friend, you have to choose to continue to put your faith in God and begin to let Him build you and I into what He desires it to be. Let's be His church. Let's be a church. And again, the name of our church is Valorous Church. We want to be brave with the goodness of God. We want to be His people in this community to begin to shine His glory. Are we going to mess up? Absolutely. Are we going to make mistakes? Absolutely. But we believe that God is a generous God. He's a gracious God. He forgives us. He picks us back up and He takes us on the journey. Let's be a people that do the journey with God, and we believe that He dwells with us and walks with us. Let me pray for you today. God, You're an amazing God. I thank You for every man, woman, boy, and girl here. And God, as You work in Your people and work through Your people, God, I pray we would all surrender. We would trust what Jesus did as He gave His life on that cross. As He lived a perfect life in place of our sin so we could be forgiven. And God, He defeated death, He defeated sin, He defeated the grave, and He resurrected so we could have life and have it abundantly. So we could walk in the fullness of who You say we are. But God, may we choose to have faith on a daily basis. May we choose to trust the forgiveness, but we also choose to trust the gift. May we choose to trust that You bless us to be a blessing, and You're working in us and You're working through us. God, I pray that we would surrender our hearts. We would surrender our gifts. We would give them up to You as an offering. And God, we would see You do what only You could do. Shine in us and shine through us and begin to touch lives around the world. Jesus, thank You for salvation. Thank You for the gift of life. Holy Spirit, thank You for the gifts You give us and the empowerment You give us in order to do this thing, to be this blessing. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.